Tonight's shir, Parshas Vayikra. Sedra begins Vayikra El Moshe. The Balaturim points out that the word Vayikra is written with a small aleph in the Sefer Torah. Why? It says that here Moshe, Hashem was calling out to Moshe in Rabbeinu, Vayikra El Moshe, calling out specifically to him. Moshe, in his humility, didn't want to write this, that Hashem was calling out specifically to him. Therefore, he wanted to write the word Vayikra without the aleph, which spells Vayikar, which is Lashon Mikre, as it says by Bilam, that Hashem came to him, happened to bump into him, so to speak. It didn't come direct, especially to Moshe Rabbeinu. So, therefore, Moshe didn't want to write Vayikra with aleph, but Hashem said, you have to. So instead, he wrote it, but he wrote it with a small aleph. It's an interesting midrash. The midrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came down the mountain, the pasuk says he didn't know Moshe Liyadak, that what? Kikaron or panav. Then he had these rays of light coming out of from his head. And the midrash asks, from where did Moshe Rabbeinu get these rays of light from? So the midrash answers and says, Reish Lakish said that it was from leftover ink from Moshe's quill. When he wrote the Sefer Torah, there's a little bit of leftover ink, and he took the leftover ink and put it on his head, and from there came the carne or. So the question is asked, well, where did Moshe get this extra ink from? Hashem, Mistama, knew how much ink it takes to write a Sefer Torah. Hashem gave him the exact amount of ink, Mistama. So how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu had a little bit of extra ink on his quill? So the answer is that, first of all, we saw, instead of writing a big aleph, he wrote a little aleph by Vayikra, so he had a little bit of extra ink. And also, when it came to the pasuk, Vayish Moshe anav me'od mikol hadam asher al p'nei hadama, that Moshe was the most humble person in the world, the word anav there is written without a yud. It's ayin nun vav instead of ayin nun yud vav. Moshe Rabbeinu, again, in his anivus, didn't want to write anav regularly, so he took out the yud. So therefore, there was a little extra ink from the aleph, big aleph to small aleph, a little extra ink, because he didn't write the yud in anav. And from those extra ink, he took that, and that was what it was left over on his quill, he put it on his forehead, and that's where the rays of light came from his humility. I'd like to add a couple of little points here. First of all, where did Moshe Rabbeinu get this ink from? From the letters Aleph in Vayikra and Yud in Anav. So Aleph Yud is the Rashi Tevas of Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu, again in his Anivus, in his humility, as it says, Chatasi Negdi Tamid, Moshe Rabbeinu, because of his sin, almost only sin, because of that, he wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. He hit the rock instead of speaking to it. So that prevented him from entering Eretz Yisrael. So he took the ink from the two letters which spell out Eretz Yisrael that he should remember constantly and have a reminder that it was his sin that caused him not to enter Eretz Yisrael. Again, another act of humility. The thing that bothered me was, Chora, rays of light coming from ink, very strange. What color is ink? Ink is usually black. Now, black is not a very shiny color. You know, if it would have been yellow or whatever. But black? Since when is black a shiny, bright color? These rays of light coming from black? What's going on? So I think being taught here an important lesson. What is that? That people make the mistake to think that if they want to find favor in people's eyes, the best way to do it is to show off. You know, be flashy, do things, and brag about yourself. Oh, I did this, I did that. Like we call it a show-off. And they think that's people are going to like them if they, you know, show off. But the truth of the matter is, experience can see that people that are the most humble, they're the ones that are most liked by everybody. They're quiet and simple. Those are the people that really shine. Mamela, what's the color that's shown over here? Black. Black is, of course, a very humble color. It's almost no color. And Dafka was the black that shone from Moshe Rabbeinu's, Moshe Rabbeinu's head. Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, represented humility. Black represents humility. And that's what's shown. The teacher said it's Dafka, the black, the humble color, that's where what shines through. Okay. Pasuk says, Adam ki yakrid mikem korban l'Hashem. So there's a midrash shoker tov and says, on this pasuk, hadahu dichsiv, yamenu ketzel over. that our lives are like our days are like a passing shadow. Person's here today, gone tomorrow. What's the connection to the pasuk Gadam ki yakriv mikan korban l'Hashem? So Lakuti Besamim says the following, explains it based on the Gemara Nedarim. Gemara Nedarim says that a person shouldn't say when he's making a korban, Lashem Ola, Lashem Chatas, Lashem Mincha. Shouldn't say the word Hashem first. Rather, he should say the opposite way around. He should say a korban Lashem, or Mincha Lashem, or first say the korban and then Lashem after. What's the reason? So Rashi says, because if you're going to say Hashem's name first, person, who knows, he might not live past saying the first word. And then it's going to be saying Hashem's name, Levatala. He'll say Lashem, drop dead before he says Chatat. So it ended up, he said Lashem without saying the Chatas, and said Hashem Levatala. Therefore, he should first say the Korban, the Ola Lashem, or Shlamin Lashem, whatever. Therefore, if anything happens, at least he didn't say Hashem, Hashem Levatala. So that's the hint of two in this midrash, right? The midrash says, based on the pasuk first, Adam ki yakriv mipen korban lashem. Why is it korban lashem and not lashem korban? Says the midrash, hadu dichsiv yameinu ketzel over, because our days are fleeting, here today, gone tomorrow. That's why it says the pasuk korban lashem and not lashem korban, because if we can't say Hashem's name first, the Gemara Brachas Naf Yud Zayin, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a zoche to arichas yamim because he was always makdim shalom lechol adam. Whoever he bumped into in the street is always the first one to say shalom. So based on that, they explained the minhag that when a person says shalom aleichem to his friend, what's the answer? Aleichem shalom. Why? Say shalom aleichem. You say back shalom, shalom aleichem. Why you say when a person says shalom aleichem, the person answers aleichem shalom. So based on this idea, they say that Shalom is one of the kinuyim of Hashem, one of Hashem's name. So therefore, it's not proper to really say Shalom Aleichem, because the person might first say Shalom and then not make it to say the second word. And like we said, the problem with the Korban, say Lashem Korban, the person might die in between and say Lashem Levatala. Therefore, it's not good to say Shalom Aleichem. So how could we say Shalom Aleichem? Because like we said, Rabbi Yochanan, we saw from Rabbi Yochanan that a skula for arichas yamim is to makdim shalom. So how could it be that you're saying shalom first to your friend and you're going to die quickly before you have a chance to say aleichem? Doesn't make sense. So therefore, I have no problem. You can say shalom aleichem because you're makdim lechol shalom. You're makdim shalom to your friend. But your friend who wasn't makdim shalom, right, to his friend, he's answering, so he's not allowed to say shalom aleichem. Therefore, what does he say? Aleichem shalom. So explains the piyu we say on Motzi Shabbos, Ashrei Misha Nasan Lo Shalom Hichsi Lo Shalom. It says by Eliyahu and Navi, says happy is the man who says Shalom to Eliyahu and Eliyahu answers Shalom. So here it's mashma that Eliyahu answers the same way. We say Shalom to Eliyahu and he answers Shalom. Why? It says very good based on what we said, because Eliyahu and Navi doesn't have to worry about dying. Eliyahu no meis, so he has no problem saying Shalom Aleichem back. He doesn't have to say Aleichem Shalom. Okay. Unfortunately, bring out that Yisurim are also like a korban. The person fasts and or not doesn't eat or whatever, suffers, so he loses some of his blood supply and his fat or whatever. And it's hinted to in the pasuk, Adam ki yakriv mikem. So if a person mikem takes from himself, then it's the pasuk continues korban l'shem. What's a korban l'shem? A real korban? He takes from himself, from mikem. There's a maisa with the Chassid, who was very sick, suffered tremendously, and he came to his Rebbe, Rav Nachum Miharodna, and he said, Rebbe, I don't understand. You know, the Gemara says in Brachas that Rabbi Yochanan, he was sick, and Rabbi Chanina came to visit. Rabbi Chanina said to him, Chavimin Alecha Yisurin, you know, are you happy with your Yisurin? So what would Yochanan say? He said, no, Lohem Lo Scharim, I don't want the Yisurin, I don't want the Schar that comes from it, I don't want it. So Rabbi Chanina said, fine, and he took it away. He got better on the spot. So this Chassid said, I don't understand. I also don't want these Yisurin. So how come they don't disappear by me? So Rabbi answered him the following. He said that there was once a minister of justice in the government, and he wanted to make a spot check, you know, to see the different cities that he was in charge of, you know, if the judicial system was running properly, you know, in these places. So he sent a message that to one of the towns. He says, I'm coming to visit to check things out. So the head judge of the town, you know, got this note that the minister of justice is coming, and she's got really nervous. Why? Because he knew it happened to be Dafka at that time, nobody was sitting in jail. So I said, what's going to be? He's going to come. He's going to say, not a soul in the jail. You're obviously not doing a good job over here judging the people. Not a single person in prison. So he said, I got to do something. So he went out to the market, whatever. He saw some old person, you know, poor person. He approached him. He says, listen, you want to make yourself a buck? So he says, sure. He says, I'll tell you what. So I'll give you $1,000 if you go into the prison for a week. Just like, sit in the prison for a week, give you $1,000. He goes, forget it, I'm not going to go in a thousand. I'm not going to sit in a prison, crazy. He says, $2,000. Sit in the prison for 1 week, $2,000. So Yanni says, forget it, I'm not going to any prison. No way. So, okay, it didn't work, whatever. So he went around, other people were interested in making some money. And sure enough, he paid off this prison, that prison, whatever, until he filled up the prison. The minister of justice came and he saw all these people sitting in the prison. He said, very good, I see you're doing your job, and everything worked out. Shortly after that the first Ani that he had approached, he didn't want to take the money, didn't want to sit in jail, he did something against the law. Police caught him, and they said, okay, we're taking you. He says, where are you taking me? He says, what do you mean we're taking you? We're taking you to jail, to throw you in jail, you did this offense. He says, you can't take me to jail. He says, why not? He says, you're a bunch of fools. He said, why? He says, a few weeks ago they were going to pay me to go into prison, and I didn't go in. So now what, I'm going to go in for free? So he said, the Rebbe said to the Chassid, so too, same thing over here. He says, Rabbi Yochanan, he said, how could you just get rid of the Yisurim? It's like, that doesn't want him. Because Rabbi Yochanan, he didn't do anything wrong, right? His Yisurim was Yisurim Shalava. So he accepted Yisurim on himself for nothing. So for nothing, okay, he took it up on himself for nothing. So he can say, I don't want them. That's fine. He said, but we, unfortunately, the Yisurim are coming to us. We're Balechov. We deserve these Yisurim. So we can't just say, don't want it. You can't say, you have to have it. And therefore, fortunately, there's no way out. Again, on the Pasuk, Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem, we learn out that a person has to, and Makriv himself, to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Adam ki yakriv, person wants to be makriv, has to be mikem. He has to give of himself. If he gives of himself to Kodesh Baruch Hu, then he can be sure that he'll have siyata d'shmaya. There's a maisa that there was a bachur who was learning in Ponovich, and he was a bal tshuva. And he unfortunately didn't act properly in the right derech with his parents. His parents were not religious, right? He was a bal tshuva. And he got into arguments with them, and it totally blew out of proportion. It got a very, very messy situation. And one day, Rav Shach Zatzal, he was in his home. And he was very old, and he was very sick. He was had over 40 degrees fever. And his son-in-law, Rav Bergman, was there, and taking care of him or whatever. And they were talking about this, talking about that. So Rav Bergman said, you know, downstairs, you have to mention this bachur, this bal tshuva, you know, happens to be downstairs or whatever. So Rav Shach says, really? He's down here now? He says, I want to go speak to him. So Bergman's like, what? What do you mean he goes? He says, I want to go speak to this bachur. She says, but Rebbe, first of all, isn't it a little bit beneath your cover? The Rosh Shiva has to go down to speak to this bachur. The bachur, come up here, number one. And number two, you're not well. You have over 40 degrees fever. You're burning out with fever. What are you getting? Go schlep yourself down and go to speak to this bachur. What? So he said, let me explain to you. He says, this bachur, you know, didn't handle the situation properly with his family, whatever, and got very messy. And I was thinking last while what or how to say, what I can do to help straighten the situation now. But the truth is, I don't know. I really don't know what to say or how to say, what can I do to help this bachur. So what I figured is, look, right now, you're right. I'm elderly, I'm weak, I'm sick. And it's a tremendous serious nefesh for me to go downstairs to speak to this bachur. He said, that's why I want to do it. Because I figured if a Kodesh Baruch Hu sees my mysterious nefesh, then he'll help. Because like I said, I don't know what to say to this boy. But if Hashem sees my mysterious nefesh, he'll put the right words in my mouth because of his mysterious nefesh. So So sure enough, that's what he did. He got dressed, whatever, slept down with his fever and spoke to the boy. And sure enough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped and he said the right thing. And the boy ironed everything out with his family and everything turned out for the good. So another Maisa, similarly, that Rav Chaim Kanievsky, once his Rebbetzin Aleh Shalom, was brought in this woman and she was crying bitterly. And Rav Chaim says, what's wrong? So the Rebbetzin explained that this woman, she's expecting, she's pregnant, and the doctors, they ran various tests, and they saw that the child inside of her is a balmu. Now, they said that this woman, besides the pregnancy, she has to undergo certain medical procedure, and that medical procedure is liable to kill the child. So, but the doctor said, but stoma is not such a big deal anyways, because the kid's anyways a balmum. So you have to go through the medical procedure, have it done, and okay, the child dies, but the child anyways is a balmum. So this woman is, besides this, the child she's pregnant with had many children at home. And she came to ask the child what to do. She wanted the doctors, you know, said she should go through this procedure and didn't know what to do because, you know, it's going to affect the child, the balmum, whatever. So Rav Chaim said to her, he said, listen, he says, doctors, you know, they don't always know what they're talking about. They make mistakes. And here, the doctors are making a mistake. He says, nothing wrong with your child. He's fine. So therefore, you can have she said, don't go through the medical procedure because it'll affect the child. There's nothing wrong with your child. Your child's 100% okay. And therefore, you know, chas v'shalom, you don't want to affect the lot. So don't go through the medical procedure and have the normal birth and zeo. So she said, thank you very much, you know, and she left. So people, my Rav Chaim said, what's, Rebbe, what's going on? I mean, you're not a Navi, okay? And doctors, okay, they make mistakes, but don't always make mistakes. Mastama, lafech, probably usually they pretty know what they're talking about. Sometimes they make mistakes. So how can you be so certain that, oh, the kid's fine, nothing to worry about, don't do the medical procedure, you don't want to affect the child. How do you know that the child's okay? Rav Chaim said, listen, he says, why did this woman come to me? He says, this woman, look, she went to the doctors. The doctors tested everything. They said her child's a balmum. And they told her she has to have this procedure, which might affect the child. So the doctor said, you know, you should have the procedure, and child's a balmum anyway, finished. So why didn't she just accept what the doctors say, have the procedure? Instead, she came to me. Why? He says, I'll tell you why. Because this woman is a tzedekis. Right? She knows that very nice doctors say, but I have to listen to Das Torah. Now, if this woman, she didn't know what I'm going to say. I could have said, okay, the child's a balmum, but it doesn't matter. You're not allowed to kill it. You can't have the procedure and have to have a balmum. She knew I might say that. But that would mean what? That she would have a house full of children, and besides that, she has to raise a child, which is a balmum, which is not pashut. But she was willing to do that. Why? She was willing to be Moser Nefesh, because that's is what the Das Torah is. I'll do it. If it's a Moser Nefesh, whatever it means, whatever it takes, I'll do it. So I figured, I said, look, this is a tremendous Moser Nefesh this woman has. It can't be that this woman's going to have to suffer. And therefore, I'm sure that this child is fine. And that's why I told her that. Says the pasuk, "Imalok korbano, etc. Yakriv otol yirtzono." The Magid Midrash says that if a person wants to bring a real korban l'Hashem, then it should be lirtzono. Means he should take his ritzonos, his own ritzonos, what he wants, and that's what he should be makriv. Things that he wants and like, whatever, and say, "No, I'm going to give this to Kodesh Baruch." Example, says the famous maestro is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein was known that when he davened Shmona Esrei, he didn't flinch. He stood like a rock. He didn't move. So they asked him, you know, Mr. Burbing Downs, Indian, you know, to shuckle or whatever. How come you don't move at all when you're davening? So he said, I'll tell you. He says, when I was younger, the communists came and they took over in Russia, and they took me and they stood me up and they said, stand here and you're not allowed to move a muscle. And they had to, just to be mashpil me. And I was standing there for hours without moving a muscle. And it was very disheartening, very, very difficult. And I remember that during the time while I was standing there, I said, you know, here I am not moving muscle, you know, because of the communists. He says, you know what, if I get out of this alive, I'm going to take this not moving and be makdish to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So one day, if I get out of this, I'm going to daven and I'm not going to move. I'm going to take this and makdish to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Similarly, the Jose Milivlin said Lahavdil brought this idea of being makdish a person's ritzonos, that he said Napoleon was once very thirsty. And he was sitting there and he's dying of thirst. So he says, oh, I got to get up and get myself a cup of water. I'm so thirsty. So then he said to himself, well, wait a minute. I don't want to be a slave to my desires. I have a desire to drink. I'm thirsty. So I'm going to jump up and drink. No, I don't want to be a slave to my desires. I'm not going to go get a drink. So he's sitting there thirsty. But then he started thinking to himself, he says, wait a minute. Maybe the reason why I'm not going to getting a drink is because I'm lazy. So here I'm being a slave to my laziness. So, I didn't know what to do. If I get up and get a drink, I'm a slave to my thirst. If I don't get up, maybe I'm a slave to my laziness, my trait of laziness. So what did he do? He decided to get up, go to the sink, and walk back and sit down again, without taking a drink of water. This way, he says, it's not because of my laziness, I went up and I went to the sink. But I didn't take a drink of water. I didn't want to be a slave to my desire. The Maisa with a lawyer, a brand new lawyer. He just became a lawyer, and he joined this firm. And the first case that he was given was a case which was almost impossible to win. And he knew, what am I going to do? It's not shayach. So he decided that he was going to do something. What was that? A little bribery. So he told his boss, you know, the lawyer, the firm, the top lawyer. So he told his boss, listen, I decided, I know it's a no-win case, so I'm fine, I'll give the judge a little bit of bribe, you know, a little money, can't hurt. So he said, no, don't you dare do that. He says, why? Because I know this judge. He says, anybody that gives him money, he right away forgets, he makes him lose. You're going to lose. If you're going to give him a bribe, that's it, you're going to lose straight out. Fine. So what happens? He goes, a case or whatever, and sure enough, he wins. The lawyer wins, this young lawyer. So the boss came up to him and he says, wow, that's amazing, you know, and aren't you happy that you listened to what I told you and you didn't bribe the judge? He says, no. He says, what do you mean? He says, because I bribed him. He says, what? You bribed him? He says, I told you not to bribe him. He says, yeah, but I bribed him. But he says, I don't understand. And then how did you win? You know, whoever bribes him, he puzzles that side. How did you win? He says, I bribed him, but I sent it in the name of the other side. So the person, judge, you know, accept, oh, I don't accept bribe, but you have to know how to use your desires, your wills, your wants, and in the proper way. Who you take from, when you take from, etc. So once a Sheva Brachas, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, that's all, and he was asked to speak. So he got up, he was already an old man at this time. So he gets up to speak at the Sheva Brachas, clears his voice, and he starts off. He says, I am one of the greatest tzaddikim of this generation. So people are looking at each other. Doesn't sound like Rav Chaim, you know. I'm one of the biggest tzaddikim, you know. Okay, whatever. And he continues. He says, I'm a Talmid Chacham Atzum. He says, and I'm very medaktik in mitzvahs. And everybody's looking at each other. Whoa, something happened to him? Like he's, you know, getting old. But, you know, like, how's he talking? You know, and he's going on. He's this, he's that, whatever. And he says, okay, it's true that, you know, I might have a few chesronas here and there, you know, like anybody. But generally speaking, he says, I'm basically perfect. And everybody's looking at him. And finally, he concludes his speech and he says, this is what everybody says about themselves. So, meaning that everybody thinks, you know, that they're the greatest person or whatever. Okay, they have a few things wrong, but basically, they're generally speaking, they're good people, whatever. He said, that's what people think about themselves. But that's basically gaiva, and there's a hint in the pasuk how to get rid of this gaiva. Pasuk says, "Vivshita ta'ola, v'nitacho talin sacher." If you want to get rid of the ola, the height, the gaiva, how do you do it? You have to nitacho talin. You have to cut it up into pieces. Meaning that a person thinks to himself, like we said, like I'm basically okay. What? I'm not a good person. Do I daven 3 times a day? Yeah. And I keep Shabbos? Yeah. Do I keep kashrus? Yeah. And I do all these. Okay. I do errors here and there, but basically, I'm a good person, right? I do everything that Hashem asks of me. I'm good, right? Basically, generally good. He says, yeah. But you have to lintachota lintachea. You have to cut it up into pieces. If you look at it generally, yeah, you're good. But if you take any specific mitzvah and start breaking it down to its parts, you see, you're not so great. You know, davening. Yeah, I daven 3 times a day. Okay. Now let's start breaking it up a little bit. You daven. If you go to the minyan 3 times a day, yeah. And how do you daven? You daven with kavana 3 times a day, with every word, knowing what you're saying and how you say it, what it means, and have kavana with your mind elsewhere. And when you come to davening, do you come to davening on time, or do you come in a few minutes late? We said before that the saying is that if you come on davening to davening on time, then you're late. In other words, you can't come even on time. Davening starts at 7:30. You come 7:30, you're late. Because you have to come before and put in your tefillin and say the brachas or whatever, and then start. You can't just come at, on time, you're late. So, example, like one little thing, davening, right? You can, yeah, generally, I daven, say it, generally speaking, you're okay, but you have to break it up into its pieces. And that's the way to hivshita ta'olah, to take away the gaiva by taking it and breaking it down to its small parts. Says in the pasuk, kol korban minchascha b'melech timlach. Every korban you have to salt. The Pele Yoetz in his sefer Elef HaMagen says that the word b'melech timlach, melech, if you switch the last two letters, is the same osios as mechal. So if melech is mechal, and also timlach is timcho. That if you want to bring a nice korban l'Hashem, then what's the korban? Kol korban cha b'melech timlach is your moichel. A person's moichel, he's not in stand on ceremony, and he looks away when people do things bad to him. Then he's mavir al midosav, as Chazal call it. Then that's a tremendous korban. So there was a maisa with an avreich who was very ill. He had the machala. And he went to get brachas here and there, different gedolim. And he decided he was going to go to the kever of the Rashbi, Shema Yochai, and daven there for refuah, which he needed very badly. So before he went, though, he went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, also for a bracha. So Rav Chaim said to him the following. He says, do you remember when I was at your house about 8 years ago? So he says, of course. How can I forget? You know, how many people, have Chaim come to their house? So what had happened? So 20 years ago, this Avreich, his wife, was somebody, call him Plony, okay? Plony did a very bad thing to his wife, and didn't say exactly what it was, but it affected the family terribly, and it even caused a tragedy in the family, and this woman's father died because of it, and it was a terrible, terrible thing this guy did, this Plony, to this woman. And what happened? This guy, Plony, got married, but for years he hasn't had any children. Like, it just happened like 20 years ago. He got married and didn't have any children. So he figured, made a chesed and nef, was probably because of this terrible thing he did to this woman, that's why he's not having children. So he went to Rav Chaim and says, can you please help me? I really want this woman to be moichel me what I did, because I want to have children. So Rav Chaim therefore went to this Avreich's house, to speak to the wife. And he wrote on a petek, a piece of paper, that I, Mrs. So-and-so, and Moichel Plony. So he said, I'm here because, spoke to the wife, I'm here because I want you to be Moichel Plony. So she says, Moichel Plony, forget it, I'm not Moicheling Plony, you ruined my thing, my life, and then I'm not, no way. So Rav Chai said, please, be Moichel, I'm here, I want you to sign this page, that you're Moichel him, be Moichel. I can't be moichel him. So he says, please. So he says, listen, Rebbe, if you want me to sign the pet, I'll sign the petek. You know, you're a man, but I can't tell you that I'm moichel him, really. So he goes, no, you have to moichel him from your heart, you know, really. Anyways, he worked on her enough that she says, fine, she agreed, okay, I'm moichel him. And she signed the petek, and he asked him to photocopy it, and Rav Chaim took the original, and they kept the photocopy. That was 8 years ago. Now this man, this woman's wife, husband, right, that's Avreich, was very, very sick, as we said, and he's come to Rav Chaim. So Rav Chaim said, pulls out the petek, and says, take this petek that your wife signed, that she was Moichel Ploni, take it with you when you go to the kever of the Rashbi, and when you're davening for refuah, you know, have this petek by you. So because Bezrat Hashem, you know, because the Mechil, your wife was able to overcome her, you know, her hatred or whatever, and was able to moichel this guy, in that godless of that your wife had, that you should have a refuah. So he took the petek, went to the Rashbi. He came back afterwards to Rav Chaim, the smile on his face. As Rav Chaim says, what happened? He says, after I returned, I went to the doctor, whatever, they ran some tests, I'm totally clean. Totally clean of the machel. It's another beautiful story. There was a Shlomo Levinstein, Shlita, he says, his sister told him this story, that there were these two women that were Geri Tzedek, right? They converted. And these young women, and they together went to a balabas for Leil Rosh Hashanah, to have a meal, Rosh Hashanah meal by a certain balabas. Fine, so they went, and they, Balabais Mekiddush, whatever, the Moitzi, they're eating, and then at the Suda, so the Balabais turns to these women and says, you know, you're Geri Tzedek, and very interested, you know, I'm very interested to hear, how did you come into Judaism? I'm sure you have a great stories, you know, to tell us here, you know, how you became Jewish, you know, why you became Jewish, or whatever. So these women were very, you know, sneistic or whatever, and they said, you know, we'd rather not talk about it, you know. So the Balabais says, what? What do you mean, rather not talk about it? Excuse me, you're eating here in my house, and I'm giving you food, and I'm asking you to do something, and you're not, and you say, no, you're not going to tell me. He said, if you don't want to tell me, then leave. So they thought he was, you know, joking or something. They don't know what to tell. They're looking at each other, but they saw he wasn't kidding. He says, leave. So they just got up, and they left. They couldn't believe it. So they left the guy's house, and they went to a nearby park. They sat on the park bench, and they sat there crying. They couldn't believe this. This is Leil Rosh Hashanah. Anyways, after they calmed down, one of them turns to the other and says, okay, what was, but Lemaisa, we left in the middle of the Suda, we didn't bench. So he said, we have to bench. So he says, okay. So they took out their little benchers or whatever, and they started benching. Okay, started benching. All of a sudden, they got to the part of benching. Harachaman yivarech es balabais hazeh. Now, they started looking at each other. What? Harachaman yivarech et balabais hazeh? Yivarech balabais. Balabais that kicked us out. Yivarech es balabais hazeh? So he says that they couldn't get the words out of their mouth. Harachaman yivarech balabais hazeh. So they said, okay, you know, fine. He did what he did, but let's moichel him. Let's moichel him anyways. Let's moichel. So he said, okay, fine. So they overcame it, and they said it. Rachamani, Yivarech Balabais, Balabais, Balabais. They said it. So afterwards, they told the story over there of Levinstein's sister, and they said, you know, they told her the story, and she said, you know, that was an unbelievable thing that you did. You know, you were moichel this guy after what he did with for you. He says, you know what? He said, if you anything you want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now's the time to ask. After what you did, ask from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll see, you'll get it. So they both, Pe'achad said, you know, what could we want more? That we should build a Bais Nehemah Yisrael. That we shouldn't have to, you know, we should be able to sit at our own homes next year and with our husbands and not have to, you know, be in people's homes like this. So that's what they asked for, and sure enough, within that year, both of them were married. So we should be zoche, all of us, to overcome our desires and to be mavir al midosav. And says that if a person is mavir al midosav, the Kosh Baruch Hu is mochel his avonos, and the Kosh Baruch Hu should see all our efforts and mezakeh us with what we desire, our prayers are. That is for the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mhirah v'yameinu.